He is the master of the sea. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please, would you turn? Preacher, what time do you normally get out?
Three in the afternoon.
Oh, we got lots of time. Wonderful. You keep your Bibles handy, please. But I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 21. It's a very familiar set of scripture. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have a Goliath like David did. There's not a big old tall man standing in front of you, threatening you and that sort of thing. But our Goliath is still, our giants are still stalking us today. We need to focus on God, not on our giants. Let me say it one more time. You need to say amen right there. We need to focus on God and not our giant of a problem. You see, I have a problem in front of me. I have to raise some money to get a radio station going. I cannot focus on that business. I've done all the focusing I'm going to do. I need to focus on God, and God will meet us. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Would you bless the service this morning? Thank you for the music already, the singing of the congregation. What a wonderful fellowship here. What a joy we sense in the midst of your people. Now you bless the preaching of your word. Help me today in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, we know Mark Rogers, and he sings on our radio station all the time. Just in case you didn't know that, he's been to our church, preached a few times, and he's one of our favorite singers. And by the way, the old devil vies for the bedside position of your life every single morning, hoping to be the first voice you hear. You see, the devil covets your waking thoughts. Those early morning emotions. The devil would like to get into your brain and into your thinking. He awakens you, for example, with thoughts of worry. Words of worry. He stirs you with thoughts of stress. If you dread the day before your day begins, mark it down somewhere. Your giant has been beside your bedside all night long trying to talk to you. And then he goes with you, doesn't he, through the day. He says, "Preacher, you ain't got what it takes to pastor this church at Cambridge. Brother, you ain't got what it takes to lead the music." Doesn't the devil do that? He comes to you who are in leadership, driving a bus. I heard that prayer request already. Lord, bless our bus. Must not be working properly. Lots of church buses don't work properly. I'm raising money all the time for church buses. Amen. But doesn't the devil do that? He goes with you all day long, talking to you. You don't have what it takes. And then he says something like this. You come from a long line of losers, and you're just going to lose again. He's your giant. Give it half a chance, he'll turn your day into the valley of Elah, taunting you, teasing you, boasting, echoing his claims from one side of the valley to the other. You're not going to make it. You don't have what it takes. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're a miserable failure anyway. How many of you would say, you know, preacher, the old devil's done that to me. So I see your hand lifted up. My hand's right there. Come on. Yeah, all the time, doesn't he? All the time he comes at you. Listen, our Goliaths, our giants still roam this earth. But they're called by different names today. How about this one? Debt. The giant of debt. What about the giant of disaster? Or dialysis? Or danger? Or deceit? Or disease? Or what about this giant that I'm dealing with all the time in my church? What about depression? The giant swaggers back and forth in front of you, trying to steal your joy. Supersized challenges swagger and strut their goods, pilfer your sleep, take your sleep right away from you, embezzle your peace, and liposuction your joy right out of your body. You say, preacher, I'd come to church and I'd be happy and I'd be smiling and I'd be shouting, but you don't know all the trouble I go through. That's the devil's business. He does that to you, young people. Moms and dads, he does that to you. Young mothers, he does that to you. Trying to steal your joy. He does it during the evening hours. That's why you're exactly right. I leave my Christian radio station on when I leave for work in the morning. My house has nothing but Christian music all day long. From, guess where? WHBT, Christian radio station, Clyde, Ohio. I walk back in the house, the beautiful music still blaring. And I say, the devil, I call him Smutty Face. Smutty Face, did you have a good day in my house today? You got to hear the gospel all day long. Come on, amen. Oh, how we need to fight against the devil who is so out there as a giant swaggering back and forth in front of us. Now, you know what to do. Because you can do what David did. You can pick up some stones. And you can make 5 decisions that will defeat your giant. Do you know that David went down to the brook? Do you know that, don't you? And he quarried out, did he not? 5 stones. Yes, amen? He quarried out, in other words, got out of the riverbed, 5 smooth stones. He was going to face the giant. And he got 5 stones. I want you to put down today these 5 stones that I don't hear too much talk about, but I want you to learn about. And how he defeated his giant. I want to ask you a question, and don't be embarrassed to ask this, because, ladies and gentlemen, I have giants that I've got to face. How many of you with uplifted hand would say, preacher, you're exactly right. I have giants in my life that I must face. Could I see your hand? Lift them up all over the place. And let's be honest. And by the way, if we couldn't raise our hand, we don't recognize our giants. And you need to recognize your giant, because everybody here has a giant or two. Amen? Yeah. There they are, swaggering in front of us. You see, I get to thinking about this. If I focus on my giant, I stumble. But if I focus on my God, my giant stumbles. If I focus on my giant, who stumbles? I do. But if I focus on my God, guess who stumbles? My giant does. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to try to do in the next 15 minutes or so is to get you to focus on your God. And every single giant that's swaggering back and forth in front of us will be gone, because we're going to find an altar of prayer. This old-fashioned mourner's bench. Isn't this a good mourner's bench? I love it. We're going to come down here and pray and say, oh God, I'm giving you my giant. And I'm picking up a stone. Let's look, first of all, that first stone. What did David pick up? The stone of the past. Everybody here, you need to have a good memory. Pick up the stone of the past. Goliath jogged David's memory. While everyone else was quivering, David was remembering. God had given to him strength to wrestle a lion and strong arm a bear. In fact, if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. 1 Samuel 17, verse number 34, 35, and 36. And David said unto Saul, my servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he had rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him. Man, what a man. I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Woo-hoo! Somebody ought to say amen. Wow, that's a tough guy. My servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. See, he hath defied the armies of the living God. Man, wouldn't you like to be a man like that? That giant's going to go down. I've had some experience already. So what he did is he remembered. A good memory makes heroes. A bad memory makes wimps. A bad memory makes wimps. Go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. David Weirich, if you'll get that verse for me to read. I'm going to have some of you folks in this building read, so be ready to read the Bible. A good memory makes heroes. A bad memory makes wimps. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 12, it talks about remembering something of God. Catalog God's successes, folks. Keep a list. Everybody keep a list of God's world records. Has He not fed you today? Has He not brought you out of high waters? Hasn't God kept you warm? Hasn't God been the solution to all of your problems, all of your life? There is a God in heaven, and He lives, and He reigns, and He does meet your needs. How many of you here, come on, help me out. How many of you will say to me, Preacher, God has answered a number of my prayers. Can I see your hand? Lift your hand. He's look, devil. Look, come on, keep your hands up. Let's let the devil take a look. He's here too, you know. The devil's right amongst us. But the Bible says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And right now we're raising our hand. Ah, my God has done lots of good for me. How many of you would say by uplifted hand, He's a powerful God? Come on, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Raise that hand. He's a powerful God. He answers prayer. Brother David, 1 Chronicles 16, verse number 12. Listen to this.
Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth.
Wow. Remember His marvelous works. You see, write today's worries in the sand, someone said, and chisel yesterday's victories in stone. Pick up the stone of the past. We have five stones. What's the first one, everybody? Pick up the stone of the
past.
Everybody, one more time, real loud. Pick up the stone of the
past.
I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get ready. Here he comes, that big giant. But I'm remembering what God has done. Stone number two, very quickly, please. Pick up this stone of prayer. Before going high, David went low. Before ascending to fight, David descended to prepare. Don't face your giant anytime without doing the same thing. Dedicate your time to God. Give your time. I preach in the Sunday morning hour. Find a place for your quiet time. If you don't have a quiet time, if you don't have a place to meet God by yourself, carve out a piece of territory somewhere and find a place where you and God can meet, just like Elijah did. Prayer. Get alone with God. You'll never get the answers that you need by just simply calling friends and saying, listen, I got a problem. Get off the telephone, lay it down, go to God privately someplace and say, God, I need your help. Prayer, the stone of prayer. Remember these five, please, if you will. You see, it's an important thing. Go to Psalm 59. This is a powerful, powerful verse. What did Ephesians, by the way, tell me? Ephesians tells me that we ought to pray always with all supplication and prayer, being watchful. Ephesians 6:18 says we ought to always be praying. David's prayer spawned David's successes. Wisdom grew out of moments. In fact, in 1 Samuel, and for time's sake, we won't turn to it, 30, verse number 6, here's what the Bible says about David. And David strengthened himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Now we're going to Psalm 59. I want you to follow me, please, if you will. I want to read this myself. Psalm 59. When Saul's soldiers tried to capture him, David turned to God. Look what he said in 59, verse number 16. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. Say, preacher, why are you singing so loud? Because David said, hey, I sang it loud. Now, which says it better for you? I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. Or does it sound like, I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. Or the cruel cross He suffered. Come on, amen. David said, I'm going to pray and I'm going to talk to God and then I'm going to find a place where I can sing aloud and magnify the Lord. I appreciate this church singing the way it did. Thank you so much for leading it so well. But folks, every time you come to church, no matter how young or how old you are, sing it to the best you got.
Yeah.
Sing it with gusto. I got to thinking about Psalm 57. Follow me there, please, if you will. Verse number 1 and 2, Psalm 57. How do you survive a fugitive life in the caves? David was a fugitive, remember. He was running from Saul, and he was going from cave to cave. How do you make it? Here's how you make it. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. That's what David said to do. Find a place to cry out to God. What's that first stone we picked up? Say it loud and clear, everybody. Pick up the stone of? Past. The second, pick up the stone of?
Prayer.
Now I've got the stone of the past, and I got the stone of prayer. And by the way, I think maybe we ought to go to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. When David soaked his mind in God, he stood. And when he did not soak his mind in God, he flopped. You think he spent much time in prayer? The evening he seduced Bathsheba. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Do you think he spent much time in prayer the night he seduced Bathsheba? No, he did not. Do you think he was soaking his mind and his thoughts in prayer when he had Uriah, her husband, killed? No, sir. It was in those days that he flopped. But when he kept his mind soaked in God, when he kept his mind centered on God, when he focused on God and not his giant, he was very successful. But when he didn't soak his mind, and I'm telling you, that's the same way we are. We're the same way. We're just like David. If I don't keep my mind soaked in the things of God and the Word of God, if I don't come to church, if I don't sing the songs of Zion, guess what? I lose it too. I find myself tempted. So I've got to keep myself soaked in God. And so do you. I've got to pick up the stone of the past, the stone of prayer. What does it say in Isaiah 26, verse 3? That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Did you catch that? God's promises, not just peace, but he said, I'll give you, you say it, perfect peace. Not just peace, but perfect peace. You know what that means? That means undiluted, unspotted, unhindered peace. To whom? To those whose minds are fixed on God. Forget occasional glances. That doesn't work. Dismiss random ponderings. That doesn't work. Peace is promised to that one who fixes his mind and his desires on God. I tell my church people, those who come just once in a while, I say, guys, you can't come once in a while to church. You can't come and just randomly have a pondering about God. You got to come every week. 3 times a week is best. Keep your mind focused and fixed on God. What are those 2 stones that we've already talked about? First of all, the stone of? Come on, everybody, shout it out to me. The stone of the?
Past.
And the second one is the stone of?
Prayer.
Third, get this one down, please. Get this one down. The stone of priority. Priority. Remember, your highest priority is not you. We come down to this radio station. Our highest priority is not our radio station. Our highest priority is God's reputation. That's our highest priority. David jealously guarded God's reputation. No one was going to defame. I love this guy. I love this guy, David. He's my kind of guy. No one's going to defame my Lord. You're going to pay for it. I can't stand wimpy preachers. Well, we're just having a tough time. Get up. Do something for God. Get up there. Kick yourself and go. Come on, amen. David said, hey, Mr. Big Shot, you defied my Lord and the elders of my God, and I'm not going to let you get by with that. You're not. God's reputation is more important than me. In verse 46 and 47 of 1 Samuel 17. For time's sake, I'll not read it all, but you can read it real quickly while I'm talking. But he did say something like that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Not because there's a David. He said, I'm going to take your head from you to let everybody know there is a God in Israel. Come on, amen? Stone of priority. David saw Goliath as a chance for God to show off. Did David know that he'd win the battle? Did he know that for sure? Not really. But was anybody giving him a chance to win?
No.
Not really. But he had a reputation to protect. God's. What if your giant, if you face that giant you're facing today with the same temperament, rather than begrudging him, why don't you welcome your giant? Say, come on in. You and I are going to do business. I'm going to cut your head off. You say, I can't do it. Why can't you do that? David did that. He did. Maybe if you have the C word, maybe it's God's way of showcasing his healing power. You may be one that God heals. I don't have any idea. Maybe your finances are such a mess. But God wants you to come to an old-fashioned altar, repent, and get things right with God, and he'll bless your finances. I don't know. Remember, it's God's reputation. Announce God's name, and then reach for the fourth stone, the stone of passion. I love this stone. The stone of passion. Passion. I love this. You have to see 1 Samuel 17:48. Would you go back there? 1 Samuel 17:48. Did you see what it says? This is such a powerful setting. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted, now you got to catch this, and ran toward the army to meet that Philistine. And here's a little teenage lad, skinny, scrawny, and all of a sudden, you're not going to do that. He takes off. Now, if it were you and I, and we saw the giant, we'd say, oh, wow! And we'd run the other way. Come on! Very few of us say, well, I'm going to face that giant. It's exactly what David did. But he didn't walk. He went, spinning all the way, just a flying in the air. Sling a shot, go on. Come on, amen! Wow! What a guy, preacher! I'd like to have him as one of my deacons. Go get him, Deke! Come on, amen! Sprawny, little screwy legs, running, strolling, the old sling, strolling in place. You're going to get it! Wow! What a guy! Passion! He didn't run from his giant. Hey, quit your running from your giant. Stand your prayer and face that giant with your God. Face that giant. I'm doing all I can to face this giant. You see, you'd probably say, well, Bullish, you have it pretty easy, don't you? You kidding me? I'm trying to put a radio station going to preach the gospel in the area that the devil doesn't want me to. He's trying to put everything in my way. I mean, when we put the tower, we found out that there was an airstrip right there. And the people called me and said, you can't put that tower there. We fly airplanes in and out of there. I didn't see an airstrip. Well, I bought the land. Nobody told me there was an airstrip there. We've investigated. I think we're going to be okay. But that's just another giant we have to knock down. Don't mess with this little preacher. You're going to get a big giant. Amen. Listen to me. Somebody needs to have some intestinal fortitude called guts. Just do something for God. We can do it. Son of passion. On one side of the battlefield, Saul and his cowardly army gulped as they saw David running. Whoa. That little guy's out there running towards that giant. He's got to be nuts. On the other side, Goliath and his skull splitters scoff. Oh, that little kid coming. In the middle, the shepherd boy ran. I wonder who would bet on David. Nobody, thank you. Nobody bet on David. Who put the money on the kid from Bethlehem? Probably nobody. Certainly not the Philistines. Not the Hebrews. Not even David's brothers thought he could do it. And big old tall King Saul, head and shoulders taller than anybody else, didn't believe he could do it. There was somebody who did. God Almighty knew that David could do it. Isn't that neat? When nobody thinks you can make it, listen to me. When nobody thinks you can do it, if you know God says you can do it, you can do it. It doesn't matter what your friends say. It doesn't matter what your family says. It doesn't matter what the preacher even says. It doesn't matter what this preacher says. If God says you can do it, you can do it. Come on, amen. What struggle are you struggling with? Don't you need to pick up some stones today and get rid of that giant? What's that first stone I've got to pick up?
Past.
Second stone, I've got to pick up that stone of prayer. The third stone I've got to pick up is that stone of
priority.
And the fourth I've got to pick up is the stone of
passion.
Oh, I've got to have some patience with this thing. And since God did have a lot of confidence in David, David knew God did. That skinny little runt was a blur of pumping knees and swirling sling running toward his giant. I love that picture. Preacher, I pray every day, oh God, help me not to run away. Help me to stand the battle. And not just, we sing, stand up for Jesus. I want to run towards him, just like David. Someday I want to take his head off. Come on, you're Baptist, aren't you? Amen. Well, you stared too long. Some of us have stared our giants too long and been so discouraged, we can even count the number of hairs on his chest. Quit studying your giant. Study your God. Yeah. By the way, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here, but listing your hurts won't heal them. No, sir. Itemizing your problems won't solve them. Categorizing your rejections don't remove them. I read a book one time that says David lobotomized the giant. I thought, what in the world does that word mean? Another writer wrote that in a book I was reading. Said, boy, old David just got up there and he lobotomized that giant. I thought, is that a nice word to say? It doesn't even sound good. And then I got to looking, it means to sever the nerves in the head from the neck. You know what really it means? He took a sword and cut his head off. That's lobotomized. That's what you need this morning to do to your giant. Take the sword out, the word of God, and just cut his head off. That anguish, that worry, that disease, that debt, that frustration. Come on, get that to God this morning. Let this preacher help you to get there. I love you. I want you to see God's victory. Number five, and I'm done. The stone of persistence. The stone of persistence. David didn't think one rock would do. He knew that Goliath had four big relatives. I want to show them to you. Go to 2 Samuel now, would you please? Have you always wondered, why in the world did he pick up five stones? Everybody's always asked me the question, why in the world did David pick up, he only used one. Why do you have five? Well, if you'll look at 2 Samuel, chapter 21. Now, David knew that Goliath had some relatives. Here's one of them. Look at verse 16. Ishbi-benob was one of the sons of the giant. His spear, whose bronze spear weighed 300 shekels. That's a lot of weight, guys. That's a big boy. Then if you go down to verse 18, there's another one, Saph, S-A-P-H, was one of the sons of the giant. And then there was another, the brother of the giant, down in verse 19. The Bible talks about whose shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. That's a big boy. These are all big guys. But they seem kind of harmless beside the last guy. 2 Samuel 21, look at verse number 20. Here's, I call him King Kong. Look at this guy. This is 21, verse 20. And there was yet a battle in Gath, and there was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers, on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. That's the last guy. You see, this giant, Goliath, had 4 huge relatives. And I believe with all of my heart, David knew. And he quarried, picked up those stones out of the riverbed in case any of those came over the hill after he had gotten rid of Goliath. He'd get rid of them too. Whoo, glory. That's enough to make you shout. Amen. Why did David do that? Could it be because of these 4 relatives? Imitate him. Imitate David here. Never give up. One prayer may not be enough, folks. One apology might not do it. One day or a month resolve might not suffice. You may get knocked down a time or two, but don't quit. Keep loading the rocks. Keep swinging the sling. David took 5 stones. He made 5 decisions. Help me out with every stone, please. The first stone he picked up was the stone of the past. Second was the stone of prayer. Third stone was a priority. Fourth was the passion. And the last, number 5, was persistence. Now next time, the giant wakes you up in the middle of the night to talk to you. And you know he's not giving you rest because of that. Why don't you reach for one of those stones? As soon as you reach for that stone, likely he'll be out of there before he can load your sling, because he knows what's coming. Here's my conclusion. Do you call Jesus Savior and Lord? Perhaps you never have. Perhaps you never have known Jesus as you should. Christ loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for you. He wants you to be saved. Well, how do I do that? Dear Jesus, I trust you now with my life. Forgive me of my sin of all these years of rejecting you. I take you now as my personal Savior. Cleanse me, wash me. Help me to be a child of God. And help me to enjoy and love the Christian life. And help me to grow. But God, forgive me of my sin of rejecting you. I now accept you as my personal Savior. In a moment of time, he washes all your sin away. And then you can follow him. What a God! What a Savior. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Look at me first before I have you close your eyes. Everybody look this way, please. If you focus on your giant, what happens? I stumble. Help me again. Just say, I stumble. If you focus on your giant, what happens? If I focus on my God, what happens? Come on, giant slayers. That's who you are. Every one of you here are giant slayers. Get on your knees someplace today and say, oh God, there's a problem in my life. There's no giant that swaggers back and forth in front of me. And I want you to defeat him today. Help me to load my sling. Help me to get one of these stones. And help me to let it go. And God, help me to find victory. Let's bow now for prayer. Father, we love you. We love you, dear Lord. There's folks in this room that no doubt have giants facing them, just like David had facing him. But Lord, we don't want to just read the story. We want to get the impact of what really happened. And this morning we found out. Help us as giant slayers to lift our eyes. Because the same God who made a miracle out of David's life stands ready to make a miracle out of ours. Oh God, help us this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Softly they're playing and on the musical instruments, and maybe there is a giant that is swaggering in front of you. And you'd like to say, "Preacher, I'd like God to help me today to get rid of that giant. I have decided to follow Jesus. Would you come this morning? Accept what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do for you." Who's fighting the giant that just needs to say, "God, help me this morning"? Would you come from your seat? Our preachers are first to kneel. I wonder who else in this building has a giant. Preacher, I need to get to that altar. Or maybe you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, and you need to trust Him today. I'm sure you know that song. Would you help us sing it? Behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Preacher.
Decided. Follow Jesus.
Sing another verse of the invitation. If you need to come, you come. Brother Lewis, did you want to field questions?
If anybody has a quick question.
Okay. Does anybody have a question for Brother Lewis concerning the radio station? He's covered the information pretty good, but we want to make it available if anybody has a question. Anything at all? All right. You all ready to write your checks? That's good.
Amen.
All right. We appreciate them being here this morning. Appreciate the special music. Appreciate the good preaching. And the Word of God, and anxious and looking forward to having a radio station in the area we can listen to. And so you'll be praying about that, get that information they gave out, and see what the Lord would do to have you to help. And we'll keep you informed. They will. We'll keep you informed as to what's